cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Jesus. Jesus. It's not about anything else. There is power in that name. Do you know there's power in the name of Jesus? I'm going to sing this chorus. I know most of you know. Sing along with us. Jesus, 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 there's just something about
like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that
Cry out to Jesus.
Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. And as John comes to bring the message, Lord, I thank you for this rain. But God, I pray that you would just rain down on us this morning, your spirit, your knowledge, your wisdom, what you would have for us. Because God, while this rain outside, it's just going to last for a while. It's going to feed this earth and the plants, but it's going to stop. But God, I know that if we will drink from your well, we'll never be thirsty again. Thank you in Christ's name.
Y'all ready? Show us how to walk. Ready? Break. Did y'all let that song minister to you? That's one of them songs that if you come ready to hear from God, we jump right off in our worship service and it'll minister to you. I hope you did. I hope you realize that there's hope for the helpless. You know, that there's mercy and there's grace and there's forgiveness and there's strength and there's power and there's a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance, and it just goes on because God's grace never ends. Y'all got that? And can I tell you why? It never ends because it doesn't come through some man-made religious system. It's because it comes from Him directly. And His resources are limitless. His love is like a boundless, shoreless ocean. He loves us. Now, for today's purposes, would you allow me to be your maitre d'? Would you allow me to be your servant today in some instruction? We're going to go over etiquette. And I know what you're thinking. If there's anybody in this church who should not be teaching etiquette, it's probably the guy with the big suit and the big fluffy beard, that guy. And you're right. But I'm not going to teach it directly as if it were my teaching. I'm going to read the Word of God to you, and you're going to hear how Jesus, in a very strange circumstance, he's having Sabbath supper with some religious folks, some Pharisees. And during the course of that supper, he begins to critique and instruct them on proper kingdom etiquette. And he reveals some things that we need to know about that same etiquette. So if you will, join me as I read the Word of God. And since we are sparing no formality, let's rise as we hear the Word read. Luke 14. Verses 12 through 24. Thus saith the Word of God. That might have been overboard right there, but you all know what I mean. Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Now one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, and he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then Jesus said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. He sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a piece of land and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask that you have me excused. Still another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways, into the hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Father God, we've heard your word. We come before you. We're humble. We've come setting aside everything else. Father, would you teach us the values of your kingdom as it comes to reaching out to those who need you and need you the most? We love you, Lord. We give you all the prayer, all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Kingdom etiquette taught by Jesus Christ at the supper, Sabbath supper of a very religious ruler. It's kind of a weird, oddball situation. Usually when Jesus is talking to people, he's there with the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. You know, usually that's where we find him. We find him in Luke chapter 5 eating with a tax collector named Levi who had just turned to the Lord. And Levi went and invited all his rowdy friends to come. And Jesus sat down and ate with them and was criticized for eating with tax collectors and sinners. Well, now he's with the righteous people, and he has something to say to them. In the first verses, which I didn't read, I'm just going to go over that, verse 1 through 6, it says he corrects their etiquette when it comes to matters of healing. See, there was someone, he asked them this question. He said, shouldn't people be healed on the Sabbath day? What if you all had an animal, an ox, a horse, a donkey, and it fell into a well or in a ditch, and you're having your Sabbath snack, and you just hear, that's a distress sound. Y'all who are in the wilderness stuff, you recognize that. Distress. Wouldn't you go and free that animal from distress? They weren't able to answer him, and he proved his point. And his point was this: kingdom etiquette says people are more important than religious services. That was a pretty big pill for them to swallow back in that day. How about in our day? We need to remember that kingdom etiquette. People are more important. We might say it's Sunday. Well, are we supposed to do good or evil on Sunday? We're supposed to help, aren't we? We ought not let anything get in between that. The next bit of etiquette he has is about humility. He noticed when they came to that supper, everybody wanted the good seats. You know, the ones in the back. And, that's this century. In the first century, you know, they wanted to crowd up by the guest of honor. They wanted to crowd up by the host. They wanted to sit close enough to hear and to be there, maybe sop their bread into the same bowl and all. You know, they wanted the best seats. And Jesus said, y'all ought to be humble. He says, when you come into a place, humble yourself. Choose for yourself the least place. And let the master of the feast come over and say, brother, what are you doing here? Come up here. Come sit by me. I'm so glad you're here. Instead of going and sitting right next to the guest or right next to the host and the special guest and have the host of the party say, brother, why are you here? You know this was for this gentleman, come and sit down over here. He said, instead of exalting yourself at the beginning, humble yourself. One of the keys to revival comes in James chapter 4, verse 10. And this is what it says. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's a key to revival. If God's people don't learn to humble themselves, you'll also never experience the lifting up of God. Those things come together. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we want to be humble. Now he gets to the part we're going to look at, and it's about the guest list. And so we're going to look at kingdom etiquette. And the goal of this sermon truly is that we'll become committed to kingdom etiquette. Now, etiquette is a fancy word that just means the manner of something, the value of something, the proper way of doing something, okay? And it's a fancy word, and I kind of wanted to get that fancy since I was dressed a little fancier today, and I got my towel. You know, I'm not sure why they wear these things in fancy venues, but they do, and so I am. And so I want you to understand the guest list. I want us to come to where we say we are committed, not to the good old boy club of church house religion. That commitment don't save anybody. Okay? We need to be committed to kingdom values. We need to make a stand and say, it's for me and my house. I want to do things the way the kingdom does things. For me and our church, his church, the church, we're going to do things along his value system, not our own. And can I tell you, it don't make no kind of common sense to do it God's way unless you truly believe in God, because listen to what I'm about to say about this guest list, okay? Here is the proper etiquette, the kingdom-approved guest list. And I read this verse already, but I want to give you the no and the yes. No friends, no brothers, no relatives, no rich neighbors. Don't invite them, he says. And he gives the reason why. If you invite them, they're going to reciprocate and they're going to invite you. They're going to reimburse you eventually, so we don't want them on the list. Doesn't that sound strange? Listen, as a pastor, I'm like, what am I going to say to my folks? Hey, don't invite your friends and relatives and your brothers and your rich neighbors. Don't invite them to church. Well, somebody else is going to invite them to their church. We ought to invite them to our church. We ought to invite them to our supper. But here's the point Jesus is trying to make. Don't base your invitation to Christ or to Christ Community Church based on what someone can do for you, for the kingdom. Don't you let it be based on that stuff. Don't you let it be based on, you know what? If I get all my people in here, we can run that place and we'll do really well. If I get all, you know, my neighbor, he's got a lot of resources. Have you ever looked at somebody as a resource? I coached for a short bit. And I helped football coaching when I was back in Lincoln Park, my hometown, Michigan. I helped as a wrestling coach a little bit in the same place. I was a soccer coach here, and I about want to apologize in case I've never played soccer a day in my life, and yet I was a coach, which meant I said, kick the ball in the net. But, you know, as a coach, you know, one of the things I found, it's easy to look at children as resources, which one's good, which one's not. Who's going to help you, who's not? Who do you want on your team? You know, and even in the little league soccer thing that we have in Grenada, the kids get a number from one to something else. One's better, 10's not as good. And they try to make the teams, you know, even by giving the ones and the twos, you know, not on the same team. Y'all, what about in church? Oh, we're too grown up to play that game, aren't we? To assign people a value. Well, let's just start off by saying this. Let's get all the people we're pretty sure they're going to be contributors to our church. Let's get them, okay? Let's get them first. This is human thinking. This is good old boy country club church. Let's get those folks who have a good home. Eventually, they'll invite us into their home to do small groups and things like that. Make sure they got a job, because if they don't got a job, they're a 10, not a 1. And in this case, 10 is lower, because we don't want somebody in here who's just going to keep on sapping the resources of the church, which brings me to kids. You know, kids don't do nothing but sap the resources of a church. They're dirty, they're loud, they make all kind of mess. We don't want none of those non-contributing, loud, dirty kids up in our place. Let's get rid of them. They're all 10 and under. They're just, what have you done for me lately? Child, when's the last time you get a dollar for allowance, you better have a dime in that offering plate. Need to contribute. Hey, we ought to contribute. But should we count people as resources? There's a whole mindset, and I just confess to you, I'm susceptible to this as a pastor. And you can get in this where it says this, more people equals more money. And you do things to make a successful business out of what God sent his son to shed his blood to die for. And wow, do we got to be careful. We don't want to invite those people. We don't want to only invite those people who are going to be paying us back someday that we think are going to be the superstars and the contributors and can do all those things. Better yet, we ought to go looking for people who only God can help. And I'm sorry, I don't know how else to say it. He says, this is who you invite. The poor, maimed, lame, and blind. in the history of our church, we called it by another way: the least, the last, and the lost. The least, the last, and the lost. Can I tell you, when we find somebody whom money can't help, government can't help, you and I, human power can't help, only God can help, you are about to see some God work being going on, happening. You're going to see things only God can do when we start getting into that target audience of the least, the last, and the lost. That's kingdom etiquette. Invite them. Don't run from them. Don't act as if they are a burden to you. Remember that you are a burden too. It don't matter how old you are, baby. You're still God's little one. Don't go thinking that somehow or another we've got to decide who's valuable to God and who's not. Can you look at a man or a woman or a child and say whether they're valuable to God or not? Can you do it? I want to know who can. Because I know rich people who are stingy. I know poor people who are generous. I know people who have grown up pagan, who turn out through God's power holy. And I know people who've grown up in holy homes who turn out as pagan as can be. How do you judge? Is it kingdom etiquette to judge? By the appearance, by the material, and by what you hope to gain. Can I tell you, church, we ought not be that group of people who uses people because of what they can offer us. That's the kingdom etiquette of the invitation guest list. Don't you invite only those who you're pretty sure are going to contribute back something. And can I tell you something, church? Has Christ filled you? I'm asking you saved people. I'm asking you unashamed Christian people that belong to Jesus Christ. Has Christ been enough for you? Yes or no? Is he enough? We just sang, "Your grace is enough." That's not the way you all sound. Just my impression. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Did we sing a lie? Because if his grace is enough, can I ask you to do something? Step away from the buffet, get you a towel, and start serving. You catch my drift? Are you filled or are you waiting for something else? Christ came and died on the cross. Furthermore, he's rose from the dead. Furthermore, he ascended into heaven where he was accepted fully, sat down at the right hand of God, sent forth the Holy Spirit to fill up all those who believe. And nonetheless, we see houses, worship houses full of believers still fighting for scraps of food as if God ain't done enough for them yet. Don't you reckon we can share? Don't you reckon we can spread the word out a little bit? Don't you think we can say, hey, I've already had my 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, 20th years of portions. Time for me to put on the towel and serve somebody else. What do y'all think? How many services you got to go to before you're ready to serve? Why would we call them service? I'm not even quite sure. I mean, I'm just honest. It was a worship service. I'm not quite honestly sure. You know, we can go serve people. That usually involves getting a towel on and doing some work. And we can go out and tell people, but we come into service. I don't want anybody to be fooled. This is a feeding time. This is our supper. We need to be mindful of who we invite, why we invite them. Later on, I'm going to tell you, we need to be mindful of getting out and inviting them. And we need to put the towel on. And we need to say, we're ready. Can I help you? Because you see, I've been helped. Do I still need God's help? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But you know what? He's grown me to the point where I know I have his help. I have a connection. Through my relationship with him, I've built a communication in prayer, through reading, through his Spirit, in his church, through praise and worship. I've been filled up and taught how to renew and how to continue to fill up. It's time for me to serve. Time for me to reproduce. Time for me to be a grown-up. Time for me to stop being a baby, sitting in church, still fighting over who gets dessert. There's people out there who don't know. There's people out there who are poor. maimed, lame, and blind. I want you to think about that. That same passage, that same group is going to come up in this next section. I want to talk about the reimbursement policy of the kingdom. Who pays for all this supper? Who pays for all this worship service? Well, the blessed. Those of us who have been blessed in God. Those of us who God has enabled to make income. Those of us who have allowed God to fill us up. Listen to what God says, how just bottom line it is. Don't invite those people, lest they also invite you and you be repaid by them. You know what? The finances, the material stuff that we collect here, that we use for ministry, that we use to do what God's asked us to do, y'all listen, that's the least. It's good. It's necessary. I draw my salary from it. I'm all for it. I'm not against it. Y'all hear what I'm saying? But can y'all hear this too? It's the least. I don't want somebody just to repay us back financially, because the financial rewards and the financial payback is so small compared to what God gives. Listen to what God gives. He says, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, because they can't pay you back. Listen, verse 14. You will be blessed. Why? Jesus, why would we be blessed? To bring in all these non-contributing folks. You will be blessed because they can't contribute. God will make the difference. And listen how he says it. I love this. This has big meaning. You shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. You shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Just for a moment, let's just talk about what that means. Anybody planning to go to heaven in Jesus' name? Raise your hand. Anybody think that heaven's going to be a disappointment to them? Okay, well then you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just, to be in a place that you don't deserve to be and are only there because God paid your way. But now let's talk about the idea of resurrection in the New Testament. Because the idea of resurrection in the New Testament is never simply limited to the end of times. In the Gospel of John, Jesus showed up at a funeral and he completely ruined it, like he did so often. Lazarus had died, his sisters are mourning. They're like, ah! And Jesus said, do you believe that I can do this? They said, yeah, I believe that you can raise the dead at the end of times. He said, no. I am the resurrection and the life. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. What'd Lazarus do? He came forth. He's like, yes, sir, I'm coming. And he just left out of that place. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ is the resurrection. I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm not jumping out on a limb. I'm saying that he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And when it says you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just, let me tell you that when Christ was raised from the dead, he made sure that that same power works in you and I who have yielded our life up to him and said, I am yours. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead can work in you and me. And if that's not repayment for you, I don't think you're judging it correctly. Let me tell you the repayment I'd rather have. I'd rather have this kingdom etiquette and say, we're going to invite everybody to the Lord. We're going to be the church where everyone is welcome. Hey, that should be a good motto for us. We should weigh everyone is welcome, even the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, because we are looking for God to fill us with something that man can't. Amen. And saying, I'm going to walk through you. I'm going to live in you. I'm going to empower you through the resurrection of the just. You might say, oh, but that's speaking about the end times only, Big John. And I'm going to say, no, it ain't. Let's take it to the full meaning. The resurrection of the just began when the just one was resurrected. And after that resurrection came the Holy Spirit of God, and everything got flipped on its head. And now God's people have the power to carry out God's will on this earth from the inside out. Don't you want to see that? Church, you want to be in revival? Then let's get this kingdom etiquette thing down. Let's not be about judging people. Well, you know what? They look a little weird. They seem a little too troubled. They have too much drama going on. I don't know that I can help them. Well, you know what? Maybe we ought to just step aside, myself included, and just say, you know what? But God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, He died for them. And let's not stand in their way or hold them back. Let's invite them to come in. Do you know that Jesus Christ died for you? Do you know that He invites you into His kingdom? Let's make sure that everyone that Jesus invited into His kingdom is sought out in our church. Can I tell you, that's the one thing where we're going to get to right here in the kingdom etiquette realities, is that people need to be sought out. Where everyone is welcome is a wonderful motto, but the Craig Commission is go. We want to make sure they're welcome when we go get them, but I'm going to tell you, we've been open to all kinds of people for years. Does that mean they just everybody floods in? You know, it's never, we build it and they will come, right? We need to know that for the new building. What do we need to do? We need to go get them. All right, let's look at some of these etiquette realities. In the last verses from 15 on to 24, and I'm just going to summarize some of these things, but I want us to know them. I want us to sink in. When it comes to throwing these dinner suppers, these worship services, these church times, God wants His house full. God wants His house full. Okay? That's not just a matter of attendance and things like that. It's not me just saying, hey, you got to do this. But you read this story. He wants His house full. He says in verse 23, then the master said to the servants, go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be full. I'm going to tell you, God is not going to stop inviting people until heaven runs out of room. Okay? Church, we ought not stop inviting people until we think heaven's done run out of room. And I'm going to tell you, they'll put an addition on that big old cube in the sky. If we go and do our job, it'll be all right. He will fit people in there. There's no need for us to stop inviting. There's a desire from the King to have His house filled. And you know the requirement? The requirement isn't that you look like me, or dress like this, or do all these things. The requirement is you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. But can I tell you, in Grenada, Mississippi, we still have people that don't know that. I was preaching in a lot of places. Mississippi is becoming less and less biblically literate by leaps and bounds. I was in Webb, Mississippi, where they don't have anything to do but go to church or get in trouble. I don't know if you've ever been to Webb. You may have been and didn't even know it. So there I was preaching. And I got a chance to talk to this. She was in her teens, teenage girl. I said, have you ever accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? She said, I think maybe I did. I said, have you ever recognized that you're a sinner before God? She said, what's sin? I said, oh. And there's nothing wrong with that. You don't ever need to be ashamed of what you're ignorant of, unless you're willfully ignorant of it. Everybody needs a teacher. When I first got saved, before I got saved, I played football, and they'd hold up a sign at the football game, said, John, pow, 3, whoo, whoo, dot, dot, pow, 16, whoo. And I said, I know it's something to do with me, because I'm John. My only question was that 3:16 a.m. or p.m.? Because that's exactly the way it looks like on a digital clock. 3, dot, dot, 16. I didn't grow up in a biblically literate home. Not to say that there weren't people in my family, but I didn't. In my immediate family, we didn't ever go to church unless somebody got married or buried or, you know, those things. That was it. I didn't know what that was. I'm not ashamed of it. I was ignorant of it. Probably some of it willfully ignorant of. But I had to explain. We take for granted that people here know the gospel of grace. Because we're the Bible Belt. There's been some years ago. This happened in my brain some years ago. And I'm not going to tell the exact moment in time. But I got it pretty well pinned down in my brain when the Bible Belt just got clipped and the pants fell down and realized there wasn't a whole lot behind all that Bible Belt stuff. We need to tell people the gospel because God wants His house full. And let me tell you, the people who might be closest to listen to you quicker to listen to you will be the ones that don't have a whole lot of hope anywhere else. Go tell them first. God wants his house full. Many guests will refuse to come. That's a kingdom reality. I had a brother ask me today, said, I was witnessing, which I want to say, amen. Way to go. He was saying, hey, buddy, do you believe in Jesus? And the man said, no, I don't believe in Jesus. Here in Grenada. No, I do not believe in Jesus. And the brother said, he kind of looked at him like, what's the matter with you? Yeah, and he said, are you just wanting to go to hell? He said, the man just up and walked off. Brother said, what could I have done different? I said, I don't know what you could have done different. But you ain't got worse. There ain't nobody more lost than lost. You can't make somebody loster. Share your faith. Many will refuse. That's a kingdom etiquette reality. We ought to still handle ourselves dignified. Have our towel ready. Be polite. Smile. Move on. I know so many people say, well, if I talk to them, they just won't want it. So what? Let me get to the next point about that. It says the king will employ his servants to fill his house. Can I tell you, we don't just witness for lost people's sake. We don't just do these things because people are lost. We do these things because the king wants his house full, and he gave us that commission. If you only do things because you think are going to be successful or result in something good, you're going to stop when it gets tough. I was going into Parchman Penitentiary, and one of the shiny, happy people that they employed as a prison guard there decided to tell me that a lot of those guys in there don't want to hear anything you got to say. I said, you reckon none of them do? He goes, well, most all of them. I said, so you think there's some who want to hear what I got to say? He said, well, maybe. I said, you think maybe 10%? Yeah, maybe just 10%. I said, you know, we're going to have 50 guys in there. That'd be five guys. What if five guys are sold out to Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that make your job easier? Wouldn't you be glad I went in there and did just five people really caught on to this? He just didn't, you know, he was not happy. He was not wanting to acknowledge the logic of my argument. But here's my whole point. We ain't going in there just to say everybody did this and pat ourselves on the back. We're going there because our king told us go. Do it for him, and you will never stop going. Do it for him. He employs his servants. Listen what he says. He sent out his servants to go invite those guys who were ready, and they said no, they made excuses. He sends a servant out again. Go out into the lanes, go out into the streets, go out everywhere. They come back. We've done it. He said, there's still more out there, still room in my house. Go out again. Go in the highways and the hedges. And listen to this summary of the Great Commission. Go out and compel them to come in. Go out and bring them in. This is part of what we're up to do. Go out and bring them in. But you got to go out. Can't just welcome them. You got to go out. And in our case, we've come down to this point. And I know y'all know, and y'all gonna think, oh man, but listen, we have a choice to make. We have an opportunity to commit to kingdom ethics and etiquette. We have an opportunity to go get them. We've been getting some folks for the whole 10 years that I've been here. We've been using the same bus that was almost 10 years old when I got here 10 years ago. And it's about to die. So I don't mind bringing this into very practical terms. We are about to take on an offering that says this. In my opinion, what good is a new building if you don't commit to bringing the ones who need to hear the message into that place? It, to me, would be an affront to kingdom etiquette to not keep a commitment that we've built over this decade to say, look, we are going to get you there. It's our commitment to you. Now, we want to do that responsibly. We're going to take up an offering. At this point, before we take up that offering and before I pray, I want to invite somebody up. I'm going to invite Debbie Fennell up. Debbie works with our young people. She works with our youth. She understands on a weekly basis the importance of a van in the ministry to get these things going. Okay? While she's getting that microphone over there, and she's going to talk on it, I want to dispel something just really quick because I know how sometimes people get in church. John, you just did this. to get this offering, to get this van. Can I tell you something? Even if I did, amen. Because God wants his house full. And if we're not making plans to go get them, then we are purposely, neglectfully saying to God, we are not going to do your will. You might say, can't we do that without a van? Sure, you're going, but then let's get the whole team where we take turns and we ride around and we get everybody, because we ain't made those plans either, right? Let's have some integrity and say what we're going to do. Let's go get folks, because Christ came and got us. Listen to Miss Debbie's testimony. There should be an on switch. Yes.
You stole my sermon.
Amen.
The van ministry has been on, I've written this down because I wouldn't remember what I wanted to say. The van ministry has been on my heart and in my prayers for months, and anyone who's involved in the children and youth ministry knows how much we need a dependable and consistent van ministry. And it means a lot to those who need a ride. When I was growing up, I've told some of you all this, I depended on a ride. We didn't have a van ministry at my church, but to go to the youth group meeting on Sunday nights, I had to call the same people every single Sunday, and I hated doing that. And when they couldn't go, I missed out on a lot. So I know what it means to have a ride to church. You know, John, I put something on Facebook this week, and John responded with a comment that the van ministry is a crucial part of our commitment to those who have come to Christ Community Church for years, especially these children that we bring, our youth that we bring, being able to take the kids to Winter Jam and to Christian Youth Night in Jackson and hockey games. That the only reason I go to hockey games is because we go to hockey games. But Jack, who's not here, I don't think. Oh, okay. He likes hockey. But like John said, you know, just having a van's not enough. We need people to drive it, and we need people to drive on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays and bring people in. John stole all my Bible verses this morning, so I had to look up a couple more that I keep written down. When John started, Bubba turned to me and said, that's one of your favorite verses, isn't it? And I was like, yeah, I have a couple more. In Proverbs, it tells us, do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back tomorrow, and I will give it to you when I have it, when you have it with you. In other words, if you have it, give it. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart, how does the love of God abide in him? And that's what we need to think about, is these people that need our help and need a ride. We need to instill in our children the habit of coming to church on Sundays. And sometimes the only way that we can do that is to take them ourselves.
Go ahead and put it up. Thank you. Did a good job. Y'all listen. We're going to make a decision. Not just this decision, but every decision to follow is the Great Commission to go and make disciples, to go and bring people in. Is that going to be a hypothetical, religious, ethical thing out there somewhere? Or is it something that we're going to draw close to and say, yes, our time, yes, our resources. Yes, we will do this. Is this something that we're going to take a part in, or is it something that we're going to be like every other country clubbish type place that says, if it doesn't affect me, I don't know that I want to invest my money in it. What's my return going to be? And all those things. That's a decision. Christ Community Church, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I want to bring it to your attention. God is calling us out. God is calling the praise band out. Last Tuesday, they got to go lead in revival over in Holcomb. God has called a group of us out. We had a mission trip, first one in a while, to go to Detroit, Michigan, to reach out to the least, the last, and the lost there. God has called us out. There was a group of 11 boys and two brave men here with those 11 boys last night. They took them fishing. They took them shooting. They had a fish fry. They taught them about Jesus Christ, and they stayed with them from 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon until whenever their parents pick them up today. God's calling us out. God's calling us to be ready. How many people here last Wednesday, not this last Wednesday, but Wednesday week, where there was a ministry from Fort Worth, Texas that said, Christ Community Church, y'all come and help us because we need your help. God's calling us out. This decision is just one decision in many that's going to say, are you really for the Great Commission, or do you flirt with the Great Commission and you're married to your own comfort and convenience? Is the Great Commission the adulteress over there on the side, the mistress that you wink at every once in a while, or is she the wife with whom you walk hand in hand and say, let's go, we're going to do this thing together? That's the decision. Now, we're going to take up an offering. Before we do, I'm going to have an invitation, because if you don't know Christ, what a wonderful day it would be for you to give your life to Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something, his house will be full. And I wish I could tell you that the other place would be empty. Y'all catch my drift? His house will be full, but the other place will not be empty. That's also part of what God in his gracious offer offers to us and to the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. A choice, his house or the other place. If you are still struggling with that choice, I invite you. This is part of the invitation. I invite you to say, yeah, I need to give my life to Christ. I need to make it sure. If you're not sure, why would you gamble with that? Make it sure that you are his and you're going to his house. I hope that we all abide in his house forever, like it says in Psalm 23. But many of us, maybe even this room, Psalm 23 will just be the scripture they read over your box on your journey to the other place. Maybe the reality of it won't never hit you. I hope it will. Okay? If you're not sure, this time is for you. Okay? Close your eyes and bow your head. If you need to give your life to Christ, if you need to make that sure commitment now, because you want to go to his house, you've heard the cry of his servant. You've heard even this morning, I said, Christ died for us. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sent down the Holy Spirit. He's waiting in heaven to return. Do you know him? Have you trusted his gospel? If you need to this morning, would you raise your hand up that I might pray for you? I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to pray for you. I trust God to get through to you. Anybody here need to make it sure with Christ today? Raise your hand. The other part of the invitation is this, and I hope it sounds familiar to you. Where's the Elisha believers? Because you know what? God has something for us, and it's going to take a whole house full of believers who are ready to make a stand and go forward as servants of God, not spoiled children fighting over the dessert. Where are you? We're going to take up this one of many decisions to put the kingdom first. That is the greatest kingdom etiquette. God comes first. I challenge you with that. You give what God put on your heart. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for how you love us. And as this song plays, would you help those who need to make a decision in your name? And if anyone needs counsel, would you help them to come and seek it? And Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
treasure and the hunger. I've tasted and I must have more of your presence, God. You call me deeper than before. I'm falling further into you, God. You are just so beautiful. I love your presence, God. You are all my heart longs for, the treasure and the hunger. Tasted and I must have more of your presence, God. You call me deeper than before. I'm falling farther into you, God. You call me deeper than before. I'm falling farther. So beautiful, I love your presence, God.
Amen. That was pretty. That was pretty. I'm going to ask that the ushers would come forward now to take the morning offering. And this is what we're going to do. And this is news to them because I haven't, although we've been announcing that we're going to take up this offering today, I haven't talked with the ushers about how we're going to take up that offering today. But I know they can handle it. We're going to take up, the first offering is going to be our regular tithes and offering. If you're a member of Christ Community Church, this is, y'all, we're not asking folks who don't belong here to support us. You're welcome to, but tithes and offering are for church members. Then we're going to come back with a second time, okay? Second time, and that second time, whatever we get in that collection, on the second collection, that's going to the purchase of a new ministry tool called a church van, okay? All right, let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, and I pray in Jesus' name that you do, Lord, what you do. Help Christ Community Church to stay on the path of being a church that invests in the kingdom of God. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Amen. 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 Thank you all. Y'all listen. God's calling us to bear much fruit in His name, and by the fruit we bear, God is glorified. Don't you want to be a part of that Christ Community Church, a fully functioning body of Christ that honors God first and brings others into maturing relationships with God? That's what it's about. This, you know, we have church as usual. Boy, that sounds awful. We have service at 6:30 on Wednesday. Hopefully it's not church as usual. Hopefully it's something special happens. But we have our very first event, ministry event, at the new building. And I suggest we just call it the building because the church is right here. Okay? It ain't got nothing to do with the steel and the concrete and all that other stuff. We're the church. If you say the church is ugly, you just remember, we're the church. Stop it. That's the building. We're the church. Amen? And the first event that the church is going to hold at the building is this Saturday. Long time praying, a long time coming. The first event's this Saturday. I still don't have the courage to tell you exactly when we're going to move in there all together. But it's not going to be long. We're close, so very close. All right? All right. I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Father God, I pray as we go that you would bless us and keep us and make us strong to serve you. You are more awesome than anything. It's our great joy and privilege to give our lives for you. Not just to die, but to live for you. Lord, we love you. Make Christ Community a place where we live the kingdom etiquette. And we love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Break.